Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "By grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So one of the couple things about grace you've got to understand is, number one, grace is a gift. And a gift can't be earned. So anytime we are trying to act like we're trying to earn something, I grew up in a very legalistic denomination, and there was an act of piety. Matter of fact, I still minister in a lot of those denominational churches, and not necessarily the ones that I minister at are like this, but some of them, the pastors, they have this air about them, and they all talk the same. And they all say God, and they just, you know what I'm talking about? And so it's like they all come from the same cut of cloth. Well, what cut that is a works cloth. It is a works mentality, or you do things by works. And nothing about grace can be earned. Nothing can be paid for. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want you to ever pay for the grace. He just wants you to honor the purpose of the grace. And that's what we're starting to talk about. So grace is free, and listen to this, it's prepaid. Grace is prepaid. In other words, grace was paid for a long time ago, and the purpose of grace was paid for a long time ago. So every purpose that grace is in your life, every reason why, it's already been taken care of. Now you can say it this way, and this is something we've got to make sure it's a standard thing in our understanding. Grace always refers to something that's already been done. Grace always refers to something that's already been accomplished. So it says, by grace you are saved through faith. Okay, so what was the grace part? The grace part was what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. The grace part is what Jesus, he died on the cross, he was buried, he resurrected, he destroyed the curse. So anything that it's included in the curse of the law, which is demonstrated and spelled out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting about verse 15 all the way to the end, it talks about inflammation. It talks about tumors or growths. It uses the word emrods, which we know part of that is hemorrhoids. Okay, I won't ask you if you ever dealt with hemorrhoids. That would be embarrassing. Just y'all know me. If I did, I'd raise my hand because I just have no shame. But anyhow, inflammation, swelling is all part of the curse. Mold and mildew. Mold and mildew is part of the curse of the law. And so all those things are so many things. And then the Bible even tells us in the very end of Deuteronomy 28 that lists a bunch of sickness. Fever. Fever is a part of the curse. It's just a fever. Seriously, it's just a fever. It's part of the curse. It's part of the inflammation. Arthritis. It's just arthritis. Just real little rheumatism. It's just curse. Do we want to allow just curse? It's just curse in my life. And so, I dealt with just curse. And it stayed there long enough. And praise God, it ain't there no more. Ain't got no problem. And if it tries to lie and say, I'm back, you know what I'm going to do to that curse? I'm going to remind it, oh no, you're not back because you have no rights to me again. Does that make sense? We have to start prophesying to our body and prophesying to our lives. Lack is a part of the curse. Lack is a part of the curse. Do you know that barrenness is a part of the curse? You know what else is part of the curse? Now y'all good folk, y'all know this. Do you know that socialism is not a blessed system? Do you know that curse is where you earn your money, but somebody else gets it? You see, that's what curse is. That's part of the curse. That's why debt is no good, because the money that we owe somebody, they're taking that money, earning interest on that money, and you know what they're doing? They're financing pornography. They're financing all kind of crazy stuff. And that's what they do. There was a pastor, he was doing a study on debt, and so what he did was he went and he found out the bank that he was paying his mortgage to, what they finance, what companies use their financing also. And he found out that the porn industry over in California use that bank, and they're financing things from that bank. And I thought, wow, our money is financing pornography. Isn't that great? Back in the 80s, the 70s and early 80s, when money laundering was not against the law. That's just so weird that money laundering at one point was not against the law. Miami, the majority of the banks in Miami, Florida, all had drug money in there. And people were, well, you know what? My house was built by drug money. They still say that the majority of the high rises in Miami were built by drug money. And so all that being said, I don't want my finances being a part of a cursed system. Now, that's the reason why I tithe, because when I release that 10%, it literally goes into the kingdom of God by faith. I believe that. That's why I tithe. That's why I don't care about, what does that preacher do with your money when you tithe to him? I don't care. The Lord has directed me to tithe there for our, as far as our church goes. And so we release it to God. I'm not giving that to that person. I'm giving it to God because he said to do that. And so I believe that the rest of our finances are no longer in the system of the curse or the natural system. And so that's why we do what we do. All right. So back to this right here. Grace. We are saved by believing what Jesus already did. And so grace is prepaid. So to try to get grace is to, number one, waste your time, but it's doing something that can't be done. You can't go and get grace. Now, there is a place in the Bible where it says God gives more grace to the humble. God gives more grace to the humble. So if I have it all figured out, if I have already been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and take stock in my past and what I've done so greatly for the Lord, guess what? I don't get more grace. But if I keep my heart right before the Lord, so humility is not an act, it's a condition of the heart. And so you'll live out what's on the inside of you by your fruit shall you be known. But at the same time, God gives more grace to the humble. So you want more grace in your life. You don't work for it. You submit for it. Amen? All right. So grace is divine ability. Grace is divine ability. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we want to go today. Divine ability. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is verse 9 right here. Now, this is Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul's talking about how there was a thorn in the flesh. Now you should write down this chapter right here, because a lot of people, they totally skip verses, and they'll say that, God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh because to keep him humble. Okay, the Bible doesn't say that. This passage says, number one, that the thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan. So God didn't give him something from Satan. God didn't give him anything like that. Satan hates revelation. He hates when we're learning. He hates when we learn and then put what we learn into practice. That makes him mad. I mean, he can't stand it. Whenever we learn something, we get an aha, a revelation moment, and then from that point on, we are going to live out that revelation. That's where Jesus, talking about the parable of the sower sowing the word, the Bible says when the word of God is sown, immediately the enemy comes to take that word out of your heart. So in other words, when you and I are stepping out to do something great for God, you're on the enemy's radar. And that's a good thing. I spent some time with the pastor down in Terrell on Tuesday. For months, the Lord just kept impressing in my heart, I need to go meet the guy. And when there's local pastors, it's kind of awkward to go and say, hey, listen, I'd just like to meet you. What for? I don't know. But anyway, so finally got there on Tuesday, went down and spent about 2.5 hours with the guy. Come to find out, they just had a church split and had a bunch of crazy things, and he was on the lowest low. Listen, divine appointments happen when you follow the will of God. I didn't know why God wanted me to meet the guy, but praise God, I got to breathe life into him. And so I started talking to him because, good people will give good reasons why, this is why this happened. And I told him, I said, well, I know why it happened. I said, it's real easy. You guys have stepped out to do bigger things for God. You guys have stepped out of the mundane and the normal, and the devil is ticked. I said, kudos that the devil got mad at you. Kudos. He's like, you know what? That's exactly right. And so praise God, by the end of that conversation, man, he was on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine because, man, I tell you, iron sharpens iron. Amen. And so back to this right here. Look at what it says in verse 9. And he said unto me, Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, Jesus said, because Paul said, Lord, take this away from me. Take this away from me. You know, I would love when persecution comes to say, God, take away this persecution. You know, and I say this, if you haven't been persecuted in a while, makes me curious on if we're doing anything. I love persecution because it means I'm doing something for the Lord. Because if we are not on the devil's right, you remember when those seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out those devils, and they said, Paul I know, and this guy I know, but who are you? You know, when your name is on the lips of the devil, that's a good thing. When he knows you, that is a good thing. Amen? All right. So back to here. Grace is ability. It's divine ability. Jesus said, after Paul asked him three times, Lord, take this away. Jesus said, I don't have to take it away because you're able to push through it. You have my grace. My grace or my ability is sufficient for all of you. You see, you are graced or enabled to do what you are called to do. You are not graced to do something outside of your calling. No matter what you're called to do, and that's the thing, if we will find out, if we will seek out the Lord on what we're, and a lot of times God works if you're walking with the Lord. The Bible says He gives you the desires of your heart. And that desire, in other words, the desires are God shaping your heart and your want to for whatever He's called you to do. You know, I recognized when I was 13 years old, I was called to ministry, but I had an awesome plan to own my own trucking company and retire. I think my goal was 42, I think is what I was planning on. And so I grew up with truck drivers. I grew up, you know, with them. And so I love being on the road. That's the great thing about my ministry now is I get to be on the road, man. Just like all those desires as a kid, I get to roll through towns and minister. And so growing up, I had this plan, but as I started spending more time with the Lord, that part of the plan started to fizzle. And I just wanted to do more ministry and less of the business side or that side. And so by the time I was 17 years old, I knew that I was called to full-time ministry. Now, I had a hard time letting go because God started opening doors and different things. And so finally, when I was, I was 20, when I realized that, wait, this is the way it's going to be, and this is all I'm going to do. And so God started shaping my desires. You know, when God started speaking to our spirit about the nation of Belize, it all came with desire. For some reason, our desire has been going toward that area. No doors had opened. I knew a couple people there, and we were friends on Facebook. But as far as anything else goes, you know, and I don't believe in knocking doors for ministry. If you are called and you are gifted, then you never have to knock on a door for ministry. I don't send my letters out to somebody saying, if you need somebody to fill in your pulpit or anything like that, just whatever. And the reason why is a man's gift will make room for himself. The anointing of God will go before you and open up doors. So then all of a sudden, was it 6 years ago? All of a sudden, I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I heard it in my spirit that it was time to hold a meeting down there. And so I'm looking for hotels and meeting spaces. And so I contacted a man who's a part of a ministerial fellowship with Andrew Walmack that we're with. And I said, hey, listen, I'm looking for buildings. And where down there can we rent something? And he said, well, I don't know all of them, but except for two hotels. But if you'll contact this guy, he knows everything about everything regarding Church of the Nation of Belize. That was Pastor Victor Hernandez. When I contacted him, I wasn't looking for a pulpit. I just needed some information on logistics. So I contacted him and said, hey, I was told by so-and-so to give you a holler. You know buildings and meeting spaces. I'm looking for meeting space. He said, well, you know, same thing, two hotels in Belize City, and that's all you got. Then he said, but if you'll change your dates, I'd love to have you come down and minister in my area. And so we didn't nail our tickets down, so we had the opportunity to go down there. And all of a sudden, that door opened, and from that point on, doors started flying open. Every year we go down there, things happen. Then all of a sudden, I got to help open a door for an international evangelist who did the Festival of Hope down there. And because we got to open that door, he asked us to do the crusade on the island. We did the crusade, diabetes was healed, tumors were healed, and then all of a sudden, the island opened up to the gospel of the Word of God for us. Are you seeing how God will operate? So it's again, it's not us knocking doors. It's us finding out what we're graced to do, and it makes things easier. Now again, there's work, and the work is believing. That's what we're learning. We're learning the art of believing. The Bible tells us to labor to enter into rest. That's not talking about physical. That's talking about spiritual things. In other words, the labor to enter into rest. See, rest is faith. Rest is peace. There is peace in rest, and rest is when you are in faith. Anytime there's confusion, anytime there's worry, anytime there's concern, concern is a lesser word than fear, right? Or no, concern is a lesser word than worry. It's the same thing. If we're concerned about a thing, we're worried about it, okay? I used to try to act like concern was a lesser word. Well, I'm not really worried, I'm just a little concerned. Yeah, if you're concerned, you're worried. Real simple. But when you are at peace, you are at rest, there's none of that. There's none of that. And it's not an act. I'm learning that because, you know, growing up real, grew up Pentecostal, then charismatic, and now we're trying to be in the middle of the road. And so I've had to learn that being at peace is not an act. Peace really is a rest when you are full. How do you get to that place of peace or rest? Meditate the Word of God. Labor to enter into rest. So we are going to have to believe God and labor with the area of meditating on the grace. What am I talking about? Grace is something that's already been done. So we meditate on the Word that says, wait a minute, it's already done. All my finances for what God's called me to do, it's there. It's paid for. And all we have to do is find out what God's called us to do and begin to walk in that direction, and God will begin to bless. Well, it's already blessed. I mean, back in the day, we would say, well, you know, we want to do something for the Lord and we want God to bless it. Well, you know, the thing is people would try programs and they'd pray, God bless our program. Bless this or bless. You know, if we would just find out what God wants us to do, it's already blessed. You don't have to ask God to anoint it or bless it when it's ordained by Him. That's what the grace of God on your life is. When you find out what you're graced to do, it's already blessed. It's already anointed. Now, here's the deal. Because we all have seasons in our lives where ministry does change. You see, ministry is serving people for the sake of God. I know a guy, well, he was one of our Moonoo Ministries board members when we first started Moonoo Ministries, Travis Clark. Travis Clark, he graduated with me, TBI, in 95. And Tracy, remember Tracy Clark? She was in Keys of Dorm also. That's her brother. So Travis was a super successful kids pastor. Matter of fact, had one of the strongest kids ministries for the size of his church in the state of South Carolina. So much, though, it got attention of one of the biggest churches in South Carolina, and they would actually call him to do kids things over at their church. And then when they stepped out of his old church that his grandfather pastored, they went to that large church and got involved in the ministry there. Well, there was a season where he was successful as a kids pastor, successful as a youth pastor, successful as an associate pastor, but then all of a sudden, the season changed, and now he's in the business world. And as he started in the business, he started at $7.50 an hour as a warehouse worker and delivery driver. But within a year and a half, he was making over $165,000 a year, plus anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 per month on commissions. What am I saying? He's graced to do that. Now, let me say, because Valerie mentioned this, that we are anointed to be a distributor. Travis, he got a hold of Seed Time and Harvest. Now, being in ministry for as long as he has, his grandfather was a senior pastor, I believe the founding pastor of the church there in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And then his mom was the secretary, but then also for a long season, her and her dad were the youth pastors there. So he grew up in ministry. His grandfather was a minister. His mom and dad have been ministers. And so he grew up in ministry, and he has a heart for ministry, recognizes the need for resources in ministry. And so when Travis was no longer in this type of ministry, his heart was still there, and he realized that ministry needs resources. Ministry needs resources. You know, when we first moved to Quinlan, we only had two cops, and they were making about 10 and a quarter an hour. They had to pay for their own uniforms and pay for their own sidearms. And any training with their weapons that they were going to have, if they were going to have any, they had to pay for that also. And so, I mean, it was bad. It was terrible. You know, two cops, and you know they weren't going to be on call around the clock. You know, thank God we had some county guys out there taking care of some things. But when they found out there was some extra money in there, because some crooked politicians, when they found that money, all of a sudden they started getting new cruisers, new police cars. Man, we had some junky ones. And now they got nicer ones. I believe we got about 9 officers for the you know, 1,300 people. Got about 9 officers now. They don't have to pay for their own uniforms. So now, you know, they could buy their kids Christmas presents. Now they can do bigger things for their family. But you see, resources are for service. And you're a cop, aren't you? So you know that's right, right? And so what I'm saying is so Travis was graced for a season for ministry, but then all of a sudden ministry, see, your ministry is toward people. Your calling is to God. I'll say that again. Your ministry is toward people. Your calling is to God. Your ministries will change and may change. Your calling never does. And so whenever God gives an order to do something else, something extra, or something different, my answer is, okay, yes, sir, we'll do it. You want us to go this area? We will do it. I have no problem. And then the next question is, okay, well, do I stop doing this to do this? And the answer has been, nope, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. But the beauty is, anything He calls you to do, you're graced to do it. Now, I'll be real honest with you. I've never been real health conscious. But since the summer this year, I realized that God's been stepping things up in our life. You know, I mentioned before, this fall has been one of the busiest travel seasons for ministering to other places that I've had in a long time. And so I've got to be healthier for it. On this trip we just came back, man, we did good. We exercised while we were there. We were eating decent. We probably only had, now I love the Belize Cokes, okay? We probably only had 3 in 3 days. Now usually we have 3 a day, you know what I mean? And so I did real good. But what I'm saying is, that makes me want to serve, to do myself better, to do my grace better. You know, the old saying is, well, grace isn't so that you can just have a license to sin. Anyone who is operating in their place in God doesn't even say statements like that. The people that say statements like that are doing nothing for God. Now, I know that sounds mean and judgmental, but if you are serving in the kingdom and you know your grace, then you'll realize grace help covers you while you do what you're called to do. You know, this morning we're singing that song and we're talking about shields. And I think about a shield. There's one shield the Bible talks, there's two shields the Bible talks about. One of them is a shield that's as tall as the individual. That's what the Romans use on their front lines. Matter of fact, the word in the Greek that's for that shield is the same word used for a door. And so they refer to that shield as a door, and it's measured to the individual who's carrying it. So when you go to get your shield, it's going to be the size as you. Then there's a smaller shield. It's called a buckler. It's a round shield. Some of them has a handle that you hold, but some of them it's got a strap on their forearm, and that is not necessarily a defensive shield. It's an offensive shield. You see, a lot of times we think grace is just, well, it covers us when we sin. Grace is not for staying stationary. Grace is for moving forward. You know, back in the old days, I say old days, I'm young. Back in the day, in church, in the legalistic church, we got to church, oh God, just go ahead and rapture us now, Lord. Take us now. Protect us from sin. And so when we go outside, you know, the old saying, you know, there was an old story about an old guy that stood in a high place in town. And he would, you know, say stuff like, oh, in Jesus' name, no sin, no sin, no sin, and quit sinning. And somebody said, sir, nobody's listening to you. He said, I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking to myself. Because they were so afraid of sin, and thank God that we get a little grace for sin. Listen, if we're thinking about sin, we're probably not moving forward. We're probably not, because the devil's throwing sin at us to get us to bite. And if we're thinking about sin, we're going to bite on it. But if we're thinking about the job, we're going to go forward, and the mistakes that we make while we're going forward, God corrects it with that grace. I'll give you a good example. There was a tremendous moment in time where one of the greatest events of time was fixing to happen, And it had to happen. It had to happen. And there was one man who was very rough. I mean, a very gruff guy. He needed a lot of grace. He used foul language. He was quick-tempered. But he really had a heart to serve God. And when the time came for the greatest event on the planet to happen, and the soldiers came into the Garden of Gethsemane and were going to get Jesus, this man who loved Jesus and wanted to protect him, he grabbed his sword and he cut off the ear of the guard trying to get Jesus so the plan of God can be fulfilled. Jesus didn't just, you know, you idiot, you, oh, I can't believe you did that. Just picked up the ear of the guy, put it on, and God, great, Jesus graced Peter because, hey, he thought he was doing something right. He got corrected, and he kept moving forward. Now, of course, he denied Jesus three times, and Jesus graced him again. But what was that grace for? Moving forward. You see, a lot of us, we want grace to give us peace from our sin as we do nothing. That's not what grace is for. That's not what grace is for. I've got a friend of mine that got a leg blown off in Afghanistan, and one of the things that he'll tell you about their armor plating that they wear, their plate carriers, and they got, you know, body armor on. He said, it's not just to protect us defensively. He said, it's so that we can move forward with less of a chance of getting a vital organ. So in other words, we keep looking at things in the defense of, oh, Lord, save me from sin, save me from sin. Help me, Lord, I don't want to sin. But God is saying, my grace is for you to move forward. Does that make sense? Are you seeing that today? I believe if we'll begin to start seeing what grace is really for, we're going to start climbing new levels and going to new places in God, because then we'll realize, wait a minute, so you mean this thing that God's called me to, this ministry, this place of serving, you mean my past doesn't have anything to do with it? Well, of course not. I know a pastor, he is a registered sex offender. A pastor, registered sex offender. And 20-something years ago, something happened. He got saved. He got delivered. And he is living for God. He has got a thriving ministry. Now, he has to do something very different whenever he has members that come to his church. He lets them know, hey, just let you know that just because nothing to hide, 20-something years ago, I became a registered sex offender. That's not who I am now. That's who I was. But just so you know, if the devil tries to remind you of what I did in the past, you know, some people have louder voices from their past screaming at them all the time. It doesn't matter your past. If you are restored and renewed, the grace on your life is so you can do greater things. Everyone say greater. We talk about doing a great thing for God, but God wants us to talk about doing greater things. Because once you do something great, is there a plateau? Is that it? I mean, was that the greatest thing we could do? No, no, no. Greater. 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 I learned something in the Word of God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. What does that say? It says that what God has called us to do is irrevocable. So my question is, what are we called to do, and are we doing it? Because there is grace for that. There is grace for that. Amen? Let's stand. You see, there was a lady in the Bible who had seven devils casted out of her. And what did she do? She followed the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ around serving. Serving. Well, I don't want to do that. I mean, that's just, you know, I'm beyond that. I got a master's degree. I got a master's degree. I got all kind of degrees. I got all kind of diplomas and all that stuff. But you know what? I had no problem scrubbing that toilet this morning. Not one problem. Matter of fact, I could probably clean a toilet better than some of y'all. I teach people. Matter of fact, my qualification for preach, you want to preach? You got to clean the toilet first. Real simple. Real simple stuff. But what I'm saying is that we're anointed to serve in the kingdom of God. We're anointed to do something for the. That's why we are graced. We're not graced just so we can get to heaven. I mean, we're graced and we can get to heaven. We will. But we're graced to move forward or move the kingdom of God forward. You know, the Bible tells us the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, you and I are that violent that take things by force. You and I are the ones that get out in the middle of the firefight, get out in the middle of the melee of the junk that happens, and the grace covers us. So when we do make a mistake, we can apologize. Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I just called you an idiot. I just got a little fleshy. But you know what? I'm sorry. We forgive me. Jesus loves you, and you're not an idiot. Jesus loves you. You know what I'm talking about? I don't think I called anybody idiot just yet. But anyway, there's time. No, I had to watch it because, you know, in Belize, you know, there's not a whole lot of cars, so you kind of know the cars that pass you up, and there's no speed limit in Belize. Yes. Let me take that back. They don't enforce the speed limits, okay? And so anyhow, so, you know, when you pass somebody up, you're like, oh, man, I hope he's not going to that same church I'm preaching at tonight. You know, no, I don't drive crazy. I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is that when we do make mistakes, it's for the purpose of moving forward. So it covers you. I'm so sorry. I'm going to take a step forward now. You know what? Oh, man, I just slapped somebody. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to move forward now. Now, I won't tell you the story about Keys is slapping a kid in kids' church one time, but anyway, there's grace and she's moved forward. All right, let's see. Hey. Are you seeing that this morning? That there is a purpose for this grace, and it's to move yourself forward in the kingdom of God and then move the kingdom of God forward. Are you seeing that? Grace is offensive, y'all. Grace is not to sit down and say, oh, well, if I sin, I got grace. Well, if I just watch this on TV, I got grace. If I do this act or deed, I got grace for that. No. Grace is not to cover your deeds. Grace is to cover your mistakes as you move forward. Am I driving that point enough in there? Man, I'm telling you, when I saw that, when I realized, wait a minute, I'm going to make mistakes going forward. I mean, we do. We're human. We are growing. We're not full grown. We are growing. Matter of fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about growing. 4:11, God's given leaders to help us grow. But as we grow, don't worry about those mistakes. You just focus on seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What is one of those things that get added to you? Grace for grace. There's a scripture in the Bible that says we are given grace for grace. In other words, the grace that you use right now, there's another grace for moving forward. I know we made a mistake, and we're covered by the grace, but listen, if we will keep moving and let the grace of God cover us, but it's, again, it's for production. It's for moving forward. Amen?